and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Christopher Cruz in the Washington Bureau. Smoke from wildfires in Canada is making it dangerous for some people to be outdoors. Here's New York City Mayor Eric Adams.
This is not the day to train for a marathon or to do an outside event. Stay inside, close windows and doors.
I'm Peter King near Pine Grove, Pennsylvania. Normally, one of the nice things about driving along Interstate 81 is seeing the hills and mountains in Northern Virginia, West Virginia, Maryland, and here in Pennsylvania. Not today. If you can see about a mile or two in front of you because of the haze, you're lucky. And yes, you can smell the smoke here as well.
Dr. Mary Rice is an associate professor of medicine at Harvard Medical School.
If you have asthma or any chronic heart or lung condition, you should stay indoors in buildings and have filtered air and keep the windows closed.
There's a report out on possible health benefits of electric vehicles. CBS's Jim Krasula has that.
By replacing gas-guzzling vehicles from U.S. car lots by 2035 with zero-emissions vehicles, essentially electric cars, trucks, and SUVs, the nation could see nearly 90,000 fewer premature breathing-related deaths by 2050. That's according to a new report from the American Lung Association.
The former Vice President Mike Pence announced today he's running for president, emphasizing traditional Republican values.
We must stand on the Constitution to protect the God-given right to life. We must stand on the Constitution to protect the right to keep and bear arms. We must stand for the Constitution to protect the right to live, to work, to worship according to the dictates of our faith and conscience.
Pence spoke in Des Moines, Iowa. He took numerous swipes at Donald Trump, including saying anyone who asked someone else to put them over the Constitution should never be president of the United States again. Also joining the Republican race for president, North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum.
We need new leadership for the changing economy. We need a leader who understands the real work that Americans do every day. Someone who's worked alongside our farmers, our ranchers, and our small business owners.
Pope Francis is resting at a hospital in Rome after undergoing an abdominal operation there earlier today.
Today's surgery lasted 3 hours, and Pope Francis is now expected to remain in the Gemelli Hospital for a few days of post-surgery observation. All his audiences have been cancelled until June 18th. Sabina Castelfranco, CBS News. Rome.
On Wall Street today, the Dow is up slightly, S&P 500 down slightly, NASDAQ down more than 1%. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
Imagine getting ahead of your irritable bowel syndrome with constipation or IBS-C by treating it with Linzess. Then you could start proactively managing your constipation with belly pain and get ahead of your symptoms. Talk to your doctor about Linzess, linaclotide. Linzess is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually.
Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling.
Imagine, what could relief from IBS-C mean for you? Talk to your doctor and say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-L-I-N-Z-E-S-S.
Hi, I'm Mandy Roberts, financial advisor with Thrivent. I'm here to help you assess your finances and find solutions to meet your needs. Let's ensure you have a strategy for success. To get started, call 715-470-1303. That's 715-470-1303.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Partly cloudy tonight with a low of 43. Winds out of the northeast, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Daytime highs approaching 76. Tomorrow, mainly clear. Mainly clear skies. Tomorrow night, lows around 44. Upper 70s, Friday and Saturday, with a chance for scattered storms, Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 75.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio. You've got your host, James J. Mailoff, here, and I am joined by not only Wood County Sheriff's Department, Sheriff Sean Becker. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning.
Appreciate it. As always. Thanks for being here, Sean. We're also joined by our friends from Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Good morning to all friends over there. I encourage you to go to YouTube right now if you haven't already done so. Type into your search bar, Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Like their page, subscribe to it, keep up the work on all the great stuff that they are doing over there. We got a lot to talk about, Sean. Yeah. Always appreciate you coming in and bringing in a ton to get into. And I want to talk about those things. And I wanted to ask you about something that I heard in the news yesterday. But I start off right here. How you doing? How have things been? It feels like it's been a while.
Yeah, I missed last month. I was Federal Law Enforcement Training Center. All the federal law enforcement agencies in our country, besides the FBI and I believe DEA. Everybody else goes through this facility, sending many of our command staff, our leadership to this academy. It's a 2-week leadership training that I got the opportunity to go to. Three other people out to our department have gone through, Scott Sager, Brian Peterson, and Eric Martin, all the tenants, and then I offered it to other command staff, and they couldn't go. Well, it worked in my schedule. And I sat down with my wife, Julie, and I said, hey, will this work? And it did. And I was very fortunate the opportunity to go. The training is free. It's sponsored by Homeland Security. And, we can get into that a little later on some of the training, but that's why I missed last month. But, you know, we got a great team at the Sheriff's Department where people will fill in to come in and talk about themselves, our department, and what their specific position is. And I think that's a great opportunity the community to see not just one face, but our department. So we're fortunate that we get people.
When we first got together, you and I had we didn't necessarily talk about it, but you and I had a goal, both of us, that we share, where we want people to see more than the badge. We want to see the human being behind the badge and understand more of that. And I appreciate being able to bring on different voices, different people. I got to see Jess. I haven't seen Jess in a while. It was great.
She filled in at the last minute. I felt really bad because we were scrambling. Like, all right, who can do it? Because we had a call come up last month, and she stepped up to the plate.
Did a great job. She was great.
Awesome to hear.
When it comes to the training, what were some highlights for you with the training?
A lot. A lot that I brought back to department is training opportunities with this organization, Homeland Security, where the facility itself was unreal. They had their own specific city built for training, like two city blocks. You have a bar in there, restaurants, you name it. It's like a city where you can run scenarios. They had a specific training area that had an airplane in it, hangar. Have the opportunity of TSA to run scenarios, evidence collection, processing, building separate. It's just I did not know. I knew the facility existed, but I didn't really grasp what was there.
Yeah,
and those opportunities, and they really market themselves to all law enforcement throughout the country. So while I was there, I was calling back and saying, "Oh my gosh, we've got some opportunities to send." Especially investigators down here, get some state of the art training. So it's hard to be away, I'll be honest. 2 weeks was hard to be away, but my wife came down during the weekend.
That's cool.
You know, we got to experience part of the country we never had. The Brunswick area of Georgia, and we stayed on St. Simon's Island. And then just kind of took the weekend to absorb the area. Down to St. Augustine, Florida, the whole city. And that was nice to have her come down back into the train. Probably the most impactful, thinking about on the way over here was there was an active shooter train that was very impactful, very emotional, where you had a father come in that lost his son in an active shooter situation in Broward County, Florida. And this had only happened only 5 years ago. We lost a son. And just to talk about the situation. And then the failures of law enforcement. Very clear that there are some significant failures that law enforcement didn't do during this tragedy. And it cost lives. Very clear on what happened, and what should have happened, and how it could save the son's life, but other lives as well. And that was a huge eye-opener to me. Again, very emotional between all the leadership people throughout the country that were at that training. That that hit home.
Yeah.
There wasn't a dry in the place as he spoke about his son. You know, it made it very real to us. I mean, these are tragedies that unfortunately are going on throughout our country. And what can law enforcement do to prevent them? And that was an eye-opener, something that class, that specific part of the class, you know, I was texting our command staff. I'm like, all right, what are we doing with our policy on active shooter? How often are we training? Are we training enough? Probably not. I don't think any of us are training enough. But bringing that back and saying, okay, this is going to have to be dealt with, you know, every single deputy and law enforcement officer, that if you have the situation, this is the expectation. Is that type of situation happens, you're going there as a law enforcement officer. Stop it. Stop that right now. I don't care if you're by yourself or somebody else. Yeah. You're going there. And you know, that's what we sign up for. Unfortunately, there's been a lot of tragedies in law enforcement in Wisconsin this year that we'll talk about in a little bit. But this is part of what the expectations are for the community. If you have this kind of tragedy occurring within your community, you have to count on law enforcement to get in there and take care of that threat immediately. That's bottom line of the training. And that's been going on for a long time.
Yeah.
But to hear somebody talk with, you know, the passion, talk about their loss, give him a lot of credit to come and speak with not only law enforcement leadership, but people around the country, and the changes that have been made in Florida because of his passion and his desire to make these changes so it doesn't happen again. Like every public school in Florida, By statute, by law, has to have a law enforcement officer in that school. It's a public school. Private schools are different, but public school now, Florida has to have an armed police officer. So he's making changes, and that message I think is resonating throughout our country. And I give him a ton of credit for having the willingness to share his loss.
Yeah.
And try to make a difference with you know, all of us.
You and I, another thing we've talked about a lot is accountability and the importance of that, especially when it comes to standards in our society with different government agencies and that. And certainly, you know, with your field, talking about police officers and the sheriff's department and that. It's interesting to me, when I think of that, though, usually I think of accountability of community with enforcement, you know, and departments and that. I don't think about the accountability of each other. Like you know, accountability with your fellow officers, accountability with your fellow.
Let's be real.
That's not only brave to me to do, but I find it very, like, really, it's like very, very smart. And I really appreciate your perspective on this. That you're coming into this and not. I think a lot of times, and I don't blame anybody for this, but a lot of times we get like this, let alone in our jobs, we get defensive. And we're like, well, hey, that wasn't me, or hey, we did all we could, or we had this, this, and this in line. I love the fact that your immediate response was emotion, that your feel, it was not that. And I don't think you're alone in that. I think that we have a lot of our officers, a lot of people. I don't think we talk about this nearly enough either. There's a lot of fields that, oh, you're an empathetic person. You should be a nurse. You should be a doctor or something. I would gather 99%, if not 100% of our enforcement agents are empathetic people. You don't get into this job not caring about people. Nobody's getting in. Nobody's wearing that badge for the paycheck. Not being cool about this or anything, but you know better than I do that. So I think that this stuff, to hear something like that, certainly, yeah, brave, very, very meaningful for him to share that and thankful. But to hear you and your colleagues' reaction to this is also very helpful and insightful.
Yeah, like I said,
Modern Marvels were its award-winning cheese making. So did you guess? Most of our cow's milk, 90% of it currently makes cheese. CUDA for you. Florida. Join us in thanking our farmers by celebrating June Dairy Month. For the Civic Media Network, I'm Terry Ball.
If you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that, it could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Colbert. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday. My name is James, and I'm telling people every Friday, I'm playing themes on the local radio.
Frankly, my dear, I don't get
you call 424-2600, the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids.
So it's just to
the Batmobile. Join the morning show
every
Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
That does fall on us. Again, that was, thinking about it, it's brings back listening to somebody talk for hours about loss and then the situation and then the aftermath. And then further, what can we learn from it? Mm-hmm. What can you take back to whatever part of the country you live in as a professional law enforcement to make sure this doesn't happen? So, I mean, that was probably the most impactful thing, but there was a lot of other. Lucky that we got the opportunity to send people down. It's hard to be away for a couple of weeks. I told you, I had the passion going to the academy. That was what I wanted to do. And it just didn't come together. But you're gone for 10 weeks. Mm. And I'm like, 2 weeks was hard.
Yeah.
And then if I would have went to the FBI academy, my career with the younger kids at home, I think that would have been. So, that's the passion. I'll never forget it. But I also understand that would have been hard on her, especially, and both of our kids.
This is such a broad question. I think that a subject like this is a case-by-case thing. And talking about having an officer in every school. I think a lot of people immediately feel like protective of kids, whether it's your own or just kids in general. And like, oh, we want kids to be innocent. We want kids to go to school and just not have to think about these things and all that. And that's a beautiful world, and I would love to live in it, but I don't believe we do.
No.
I'm curious to know how you feel about this, not only as a father, but as a sheriff, the idea of this, because for me, where I grew up, one of my earliest memories is, we got to go a different way into school because they're putting in detectors. They're putting in metal detectors. And I've grown up with this. But that's part of the reason my family moved us out of Chicago, was to get away from that stuff. And now it's in our communities and every community. But I think we could spend hours and hours wasting time talking about reminiscing about the good old days or something like that. That's not going to help us any. You can't rewind time. We're only going forward. With that, all that being said, are you in favor of that, of having an officer in schools? And is it more of a case-by-case thing, do you believe? School-by-school thing, I should say.
That's a good question. I mean, we're lucky here with all of our schools that most of them have an SRO at them. You have the smaller communities like Pittsville, but they have they have a police department that the chief spends time there. Couple schools that we spend time at, but we don't have anybody full time at that school in Auburndale. But we're there. Deputies are required to be there during their shift to stop in. And what I do like about that is the students, the faculty, are not seeing that same individual face all the time. We're seeing several different deputies that are coming in and taking that opportunity to at least have conversations with them that we're there. So I think it's a good question to bring up. It really comes down to what the community expectations are. Mm-hmm. The safety part of it, I'm all in favor of. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at what the changes that have been brought to all of the schools around here, that they're becoming more safer and safer. And so it boils down to cost and safety.
Yeah.
For me, I'm always going to be on the side of safety. Can't buy safety, because how much is a human life? Whether it's a child or an elderly person that was taken by violent means, there There's no replacing that.
Yeah.
So the more that we can prepare, and that comes by our training, and we can prevent it by, you know, that community investment, that'll, oh, I'll always err on, or always be in favor of that. The finance part of it, you know, being the position I am, we all have budgets, we all have budgets we can stay in, but I'm always going to look at, there's really no cost that in my mind to make sure that I'm safe, no matter who they are. I think that we're learning, fortunately, harshly, with the violence that's been going on, not only to our people in our communities around this country, but also law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, segueing into, you know, right now, Wisconsin has been the worst year for law enforcement officers being killed. I'm not looking at situations where, you know, somebody got into a car accident, which unfortunately does happen. There's four law enforcement officers that have been murdered this year in the state of Wisconsin. In my almost 30-year career, it's not even halfway through the year, it's never happened. And, you know, going to the last funeral for a St. Croix County deputy, Kate Lessig, it was hard. You know, you're in a gymnasium at the school, just canceled school that day, so everybody could be there in Hudson and listen to, you know, her coworkers, her sheriff, her community members talk about somebody that, you know, 29 years old, you know, very early on in her career, early on, St. Croix County Sheriff's Department, you got an individual, you know, put his car in a ditch, a criminal, you know, think about, you know, what he's going to do if the law enforcement officer shows up, and then carry it through. And it was hard, you know, to listen in a really struck me with what's going on right now in our state with, you know, the murder of all these officers by gunfire. And, you know, I sat there and prayed. You know, I'm not saying I'm a really religious person, but I know what I believe in. And it was an unfair prayer, to be honest with God, because I asked, hey, please, don't let this ever happen again to any other law enforcement officer in our country, not just our state, but our country. And the reality sets in, though, as I'm sitting there thinking, it's going to. You know, it's going to happen. And what do you think of from there? And it's like, how do you prepare as a law enforcement leader if it happens in your community? You know, I started thinking of that, how we can, unfortunately, think about how we can prepare in our agency and other agencies within the area. You know, then you look at what can the community. Start thinking of that, and I'll tell you what, it's never old to hear somebody come up to any law enforcement officer and say, thank you for your service, extend their hand, shake their hand, and say, got your back. You know, that goes a long way, mm-hmm. and reaffirms that what we're doing out there is, hey, we're putting our lives on the line for our communities that we serve. You know, and on a patrol, you know, officers or deputies see a yard sign, not a political sign, mm-hmm. but that yard sign that says, back to blue. You know, that reaffirms how we feel. You see the thin blue line flag, you know, flying at somebody's residence that it's not a law enforcement officer. Those are things we need.
From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news, talk, and sports is Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. Cancer risks cause concern at Riverside Park. Brittany Merlot has more details.
An updated risk assessment for a Wausau park shows toxic compounds of dioxin at levels high enough to cause an unacceptable cancer risk, prompting recommendations to immediately limit exposure to those areas in Riverside Park. The Wausau pilot and review reports that city officials haven't said whether they'll comply. State officials are recommending interim actions that include covering the contamination zone with landscaping fabric, toss wood chips on it, and using signage to notify people about the potential exposure there. The director of Center for Health, Environment, and Justice, Stephen Lester, says the cancer aspect is crucial because dioxin is generally considered the most potent man-made carcinogen ever tested. The Raptors take on the Mallards at home tonight after beating them 9-4 yesterday. First pitch at 6:05.
Because I think one of the silver linings of something like that is kids growing up and seeing an officer and being that familiar. You know, we there wasn't anybody in school. You knew the janitor, you knew the principal. You know, I'm thinking more in grade schools than that. The idea of, oh, there's Officer Joe. And, you know, and they get more familiar with that and everything. I'm sorry to pull your name out there, but just out of nowhere, you're the one. I could have chosen 1,000 names, and I had to choose one or the other person in the room. But having a little more opportunity for that, and a little more of, like, one of the things that frightens me is the idea of kids growing up and being afraid to talk to police officers. I grew up in a very, very violent, negative neighborhood, a lot of negativity towards that stuff. But nobody was ever afraid to call the police. Like, not one adult in that neighborhood ever said to me, you don't want to talk to them or something like that. It was still the first line of defense for us. Even though we knew they may not show up right away or any of these things, like, it was still where we were. That should speak to people. That should tell you a lot right there. That even in the worst of circumstances, the first thought is our office. We're almost instinctively go that way. If that's something that you care about, if that's something you feel, and your mind goes there, you should have some of these positions for these people. And first to help Badgers the idea of us shaming and putting more emphasis on that there's a line you don't cross in society, and this was one of them. As kids growing up, that was the way. It was almost an automatic death sentence if you fought an officer, let alone did something violent like this. Getting back to that standard is something that I think we need to do as well. Not just for us as a community and for the safety of our societies, but I come back to this all the time. How many little kids right now growing up and seeing these things going on are going to want to grow up to be a police officer? Like, especially if all they see is negative, 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 and all they see the coverage of and everything. Accountability is important. We need that in society. You also need to cover the whole story. You also need to have all angles of stories and all different, and understand that there everything in life is a gray area.
Here's what's happening.
I think that, I think we've got a little more time before we go to our first break. I wanted to touch on this. I saw the other day on the news that recently our Rapids officers helped out in Oregon with sex trafficking that I heard about. I don't know if this is the Rapids Police Department, so I didn't know if you had heard anything about this, but I did see an opportunity to talk about sex trafficking in the state.
Yeah, that's a... 15th. It's a hard investigation.
We celebrate our blossoming.
It doesn't get reported
the whole family, including carnival, live music, arts, parade, and more. Known for our rich cranberry heritage and special events, 4-day event highlights and supports outstanding groups in our community. Our favorites include the Berry Fest Raffle, the Dairy Berry Breakfast, Cinema Under the Stars, Kids Fishing, Arts and Crafts Parade, and the Duck Derby. For more information, visit blossomfest.com or check out their Facebook page.
It's something.
Hi, I'm Mandy Roberts, financial advisor with Biden. I'm here to help you assess your finances.
You've seen it more in the bigger cities, but
let's ensure you have a strategy for success.
Like I just talked about,
715-470-1301.
That situation brought up.
Here's your forecast from
Doesn't happen very often.
WFHR. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times this afternoon, with highs around 76. Winds out of the northeast, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies tonight, lows level off around 43. Lots of sunshine tomorrow, high of 76. Upper 70s Friday and Saturday, with a chance for scattered storms Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Fischinski. Currently, it's 63.
Their network capabilities about our entire state and beyond. So, fortunate if we do have complaint of that nature, we'll definitely, obviously, investigate it, but we'll check, you know, with our resources in DCI. It's probably the biggest one in the world because they have agents just assigned to that, specifically working on that. Quite a bit more resources for us.
I've done this poll before where I'll ask listeners, hey, do you think this or do you think that? And one of the things I've done recently, it was a couple of weeks ago, I started doing it, talked to about 20 people. And from Nakusa, Port, you know, around the area and stuff, and asking, do you think sex trafficking is something we have to worry about in central Wisconsin? And almost, it was 1 to 20 people, one person felt that it was an issue. Everybody else was like, not here, not here. That frightened me. That feared me because I know for a fact it's an issue here because I pay attention and I talk with you once a month. And that's why I'm fortunate. I'm a little more in the in on that stuff. But I any opportunity to bring this up and make sure – again, there's a big difference of trying to make people afraid. I'm not looking to do that, but make you aware. You know that cars are fast and can hurt you. I don't think you should be afraid of cars.
No, I completely agree with you. I see it on the news every once in a while, somebody that's trying to solicit a minor. My daughter, Jordan, works in the Sheriff's Department, and she volunteers to help out their investigation. Talking with people that want to have sex with a minor. And the desire is out there all over, and you'll see people get caught up in it. Periodically, it doesn't matter if they're from Wisconsin Rapids or Wausau, and once, you know, they're chatting with somebody that they believe is an underager and they want to follow through with that and meet with them, and they get arrested. But the desire is out there. Is that something that we talk about this topic? Tell you the desires within our communities that there are individuals that want to meet up with people that are underage, and those individuals that expectation of being with them for sex, and probably if it's happening, they're probably being trafficked. These are juveniles that probably run away, somebody that brought them in that's going to help them, and now they're using them. And that should be something that people see it on the news every. Probably once a month, or even maybe less, or maybe more. It really depends where people get tied up in these situations where their expectation is to hook up with a minor, have sex with them, and then walk away. That's illegal in a sense, but if you think about it, that minor is probably being trafficked. These are people that are just getting caught for it. What about the people that aren't being caught for it? They're hooking up with these juveniles at wherever the locations might be. Jordan's told me it's not just exclusive to a hotel. Mm-hmm. I mean, it could be, hey, a parking lot. It could be anywhere. But people should understand is that there's desires for individuals within our communities that want to help with these people that are being trafficked.
And just to piggyback on that, it's not just little girls. It's little boys. It's both sexes. Yep. And it's keeping an eye on these kids and protecting them as a society. Not just all that being on your guys' shoulders, but us as community members seeing something, saying something, exactly. Keeping your eyes open.
Yeah, if something looks suspicious, it's okay to call. Turning away, what does that say? I mean, it'd be an okay situation, but if it didn't feel right, it didn't. Look right. Call us.
If I'm driving around in a van with the windows blacked out and I get pulled over and somebody, you or somebody else says to me, hey, we had a question about this van, et cetera, et cetera. I got nothing to hide. I got no issue with this. Exactly. I'm like, I'm glad. Hey, thank you for making sure that I didn't have a little kid in here or something like that. I would think that a human being would be kosher with that, would be able to roll with that. It's just, again, as part of our job as society to protect children, too. It doesn't just fall on police officers and sheriffs and that. I hope that's understood by the world in general. That there's a lot that falls on your guys' shoulders alone, but not this. This is on all of us. These school shootings, these kids getting trafficked, any of this stuff, it's on me. It's on all of us. And we all need to take accountability for these things to hopefully make them better.
Exactly. No, it's a great point. All our children safe, but all of us safe.
We'll take a quick commercial break. Come back and we'll have more with our Wood County Sheriff's Department and our great friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media here on Midday Magazine. Got to get used to saying midday.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Want to adopt a pet but aren't sure where to start? Join WFHR at Petpalooza Sunday, June 11th at the Southwood County Humane Society. Meet your potential new pet and get great animal care advice from these honored local guests. Experts in what they do, including food and treats from the Fed store, specialty toys, chews, leashes, and more with Bow Wow Meow, grooming tips from paws to tail, plus training and boarding ideas from the Rough Ranch, all Wisconsin Rapids-based businesses. It's Petpalooza, Sunday, June 11th from 10 to 4 at the Southwood County Humane Society, 3621 64th Street North in Wisconsin Rapids. Brought to you by these pet-loving sponsors, the Rough Ranch, Sparhawk Trucking, Express Recycling, Crockett Septic, and PepsiCo in Wisconsin Rapids, Current Technologies and Port Auto Service in Port Edwards, and locally grown radio WFHR. See you there.
Saturdays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Partly cloudy tonight with a low of 43. Winds out of the northeast, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Daytime highs approaching 76. Tomorrow, mainly clear. Mainly clear skies. Tomorrow night, lows around 44. Upper 70s, Friday and Saturday, with a chance for scattered storms Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 75.
Welcome back to Midday Magazine here at WFHR. Got your host, James. We're joined by our friends from Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Say good morning and good afternoon to them over there. And, of course, Sheriff Sean Becker from the Wood County Sheriff's Department. Always appreciate you being here, Sean.
I positive things about the partnership we have. Really appreciate you.
I wanted to get into the new jail with you. Just any updates on that. I always like to check in and see how that's going. I got to say, it has not gotten old to me yet, seeing those cranes and seeing all the work getting done. Like, there's something about that just brings up the city kid in me. I love it.
It's pretty surreal. You know, going through my career, it's not going to happen. Over and over and over again. As I always say, you know, I give so much credit to the board and sitting down and looking at the whole big picture of things and the future. Awesome. I know it wasn't the most popular decision for everybody, but they did it right. And it's going really well. You know, knock on wood. It's on schedule. The Samlas group that's overseeing the construction of the facility is doing a great job.
Yeah.
So they're on schedule. Yeah, you can't miss it. You know, with the cranes there and the walls. The jail itself, and then you have the historic building, historical society. They're, you know, thankfully they're paying attention to this. They
have
some requirements you have to match courthouse. You know, and they look at it now. It's a very close match.
Huh.
And once the jail's done, the sheriff's department will be a nice buffer between courthouse.
Open concept.
Sheriff's Department jail. It's going really well. Hassel, our ground supervisor, has been doing a phenomenal job overseeing this huge project, the biggest project that has ever been done, but also his regular job, all the grounds, River Block, all of the county. An absolute phenomenal job, you know, just every day looking at what's been done and then catching things that were supposed to be done that weren't. So it's done a fantastic job. So, no, I appreciate bringing it up. Memorial Day, they did a super solid thing with the cranes.
Yeah.
You see those
yeah.
flags?
Yes. So yes.
It was,
that was really cool.
That was just, you know, we had our ceremony in front of the courthouse and just they had a position perfectly. Huge flag.
It gave me goosebumps. Yeah.
It did.
Yeah.
Just like, yeah. So, the project's going really well.
Good.
Again, broken record here, but thank you for our entire county board, community, everybody that has supported the project.
I know that I want to wrap up when we today on Bluegrass at the Lake. Sure. I'm looking forward to talking about that, of course. But I also know that you bring usually a lot to the table to talk about. Did you have anything you wanted to get into?
A couple of quick things. So it's a few of our team members' birthdays. Corey Lee, Sergeant Lee. It's a Facebook picture of him online.
We'll check that out,
yeah,
everybody.
Please do, because it's an older picture of him posing with cake, but we have Corey's a great, he the back, so don't worry. We'll probably get even some way, shape, or form. Deputy Shannon Tolleson, his birthday, and then also Deputy Riley Wires. So, birthday to those guys. Call my wife. We just hit our 32nd anniversary.
Mazel tov. Congratulations. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, we went for a couple days, cool. Did some fishing, went on a ski lake, and we're in a small boat. It would have been nice to look into a muskie. I had a follow-up, but I don't know if I would have been able to say it. And she knows it, too. But yeah, it did some fishing and just got away. So that was awesome. Charlie Hugesteger, our captains, he graduates from college on Friday.
Congratulations.
Kelly Trzynski got promoted. And he'll be moving to jail. Lord, he used to work. Back and take her position. So, those are a couple of things that I want to bring up.
Excellent.
Yeah, we could talk about bluegrass and then maybe Mary's Place.
What was it?
Mary's Place.
Yeah, let's start with Mary's Place because we got a little more time here before we have to wrap up. I wanted to get into this too. I was hoping we'd have time for this. How is things going over there? It looks construction-wise like things are going well. From my perspective and talking to people in the community, there was a positive vibe about it right away. But there's a little bit of concern. I feel like a lot of that has been answered, and now I'm just hearing about a kind of a positive vibe about it from the community.
Yeah, it was a vision to bring Mary's Place down to Wisconsin Rapids. There's a Mary's Place up in Marshall for several years. And it's a transitional housing. It's not a homeless shelter. And that was probably the biggest concern that people had. We, as a team, the service board, all the people that are part of Mary's Place did an outstanding job of getting the information out of what Mary's Place is about. It's transitional housing for people that are struggling. They're on the brink or they are homeless, and they just need some help through, whether it's a week, a few days, or a few months, to get them on their feet, get them employed, and then get them out on their own. That's the goal. All those questions were answered. I get the concern with the neighbors. Homeless shelter, all those issues that come with it. This was a good vision. It's a good thing for people are struggling with housing. Leave them on the streets, leave families on the streets. This facility is going to have an opportunity. If there's families out there that are struggling, they're homeless. So a lot of people legacy does such a phenomenal job giving back to our community. They stepped up and donated a lot of money to help this project. And there's a lot of people that also stepped up and whether it was cash donations or just items like furniture or things that are for Mary's Place they did it. And that's just very rewarding for all of us to see people stepping up to help people that truly need it.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a dedication ceremony coming up next Tuesday.
Yeah. Oh, it is next Tuesday. Yeah. Wow. Came quick.
Yeah. Huh. At noon. I know they're accepting applications right now. And they should be able to start occupying the week this coming Monday.
Mm.
So, coming well. It's nice to see the vision of so many. Adam Fisher on the board, this is one of the things that he's very passionate about. And he's overseen the Mary's Place in Marshfield. And then, saw the need being the board supervisor that Wisconsin Rapids could use something like this as well. And start to push that along. And just to see all the people that join along just to make sure this is going to happen. So, it'll be exciting to be next week to dedicate a Mary's Place here in Wisconsin Rapids, a good location. You got resources that aren't very far, so they're struggling with housing, but if there's some other needs that they can be set up with, that's part of the Mary's Place.
No economy is strong enough to where it couldn't use some more workers. It couldn't use some more people interacting with it. A little quick story time with James. throughout this last two school years. Been picking up a young lady, Padme, my friend Laura's sister, daughter, from Rams. And I take her back through town here to get her to home and stuff. And Padme's a great, such a cool kid and all this. And she's got a great empathetic heart. And we were driving around, and it was one of the first times I picked her up. And we're driving through to get over to the other side of town. We go past the building that will be Mary's place. As we're going past it, she starts talking about how in school, her and her friends were talking about how great it would be if there was just a building for people that needed housing or needed a home that they could live in for a little while and get on their feet. Not her words exactly, but basically Mary's place. She did not know about this I think a seventh grader or whatever, not exactly like keeping up to date on all the news and everything, you know, as none of us do at that age. But I was blown away by not only the empathy and that her and her friends had, but by, okay, even kids get this. Even little kids get this and understand this. So adults, for one, have no excuse not to understand. But also, I would hope that even if you have a concern with any of these things, that you will come down to the fact of, oh, this is what we do. This is what, especially here in America, but I would think in society around the world, this is what we do. We look out for each other. We give each other not a handout, a hand up. That's what Mary's Place is. It is not charity. It is not about, patting somebody on the back and telling them it's going to be okay. It is those things. It is a little bit of those things. But it is also, hey, I'm here to help get you on your feet. I'm not here to help you just keep doing the same old here. I'm here to help you get on your feet, add to society, which is a taxpayer, which is a person working, taking out a job that is unfilled, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Like this helps society. This is for the betterment of our community, not just these individuals, but for all of us.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's gratifying to hear that.
Yeah.
You know, the cool kid has seen that, absorbs it, and is willing to talk about it. And look, you know, I'm sure that there's classmates that parents are struggling.
Yeah.
And they see it. I think we all remember that going through school. The families that were struggling, for one reason or not, struggling. And that's what's, you know, exciting to me about Mary's Place, the facility that's being completed now, is that there are opportunities for families to come in and, you know, reevaluate life. There's going to be counseling services available. There's so many things connected. It's not just a place to live. There's expectations there that you're going to get a job. You're going to be looking for work. Struggling with addiction, there's going to be an opportunity to come and help you through that. Therapy, all that stuff is connected to this. It's not just a place to fill your head. There's going to be expectations that you want to live there. That's what it's all about. I mean, it's not just it's not a homeless shelter. Mm-hmm. There's so much more to it. I'm all in for helping people.
Yeah.
This is a great way that so many people are connected to it. It's not just the sheriff's department. There's so many people that believe in this, and that's what is exciting to see. It's our community.
It's not certainly a positive necessarily, but it is part of my upbringing. One of the first things that I saw was homeless people growing up and getting to talk with them and know them by name, seeing them every morning, some of these things. I still can picture some of these faces and everything. And knowing them and getting to talk to them, I found right away that, oh, well, this is a former veteran, or this is a former person who worked on State Street like a year ago and was wearing billion-dollar suits and all this and everything, and now they're here. I learned these stories. So I think that I'm in a weird way spoiled in this department on that part of things. But for most people out there, way too many, they have this image of their head of what a homeless person is or a person struggling is. And I guess we have to update that to some of them, to the audience, to some of the people out there when it comes to that, because you look around the room and that's a person that could be struggling. Like we know this from the ALICE report, the United Way does every year, and seeing the statistics from that. We know it from a number of different angles that almost all of us are in a position of one medical disaster or one financial thing, huge thing. And we're all in that spot and needing help. I think if there is a silver lining to the opioid crisis, it is what the addict looks like. What we used to think of what an addict is this person that looks like this, 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 and this. And now it's literally anybody. It can be anybody. Anybody can look like that and stuff. And I'm a big believer in finding silver linings and in the hardest of times. And I think that we've done that a little bit with this, but it's still we come into these situations and it's, oh, I don't want, oh, they're going to bring a bunch of violence. They're going to bring a bunch of this or what have you and everything. I feel a concern there. When I heard community members, not a lot of them, but when I would hear a community member say something like that, my first question would be is, do you know where that our police officers here in town patrol everywhere? Like there's not an area in this town that they ain't covering. That they've got their bases covered. Like for one, just for one. So even if there was any truth to that, but more so, talk to these individuals. Share a conversation. Like there's this guy Charlie that I remember and I always will. He was a veteran. He was in Vietnam. He's a great guy. Had a struggle with addiction and ended up right outside our high rise when I was a kid. And he was there longer than my family was there. And this guy could not look more intimidating. Could not look more scary. Worn out dreadlocks. A whiter guy, so a lot of scars and bruises you could see on the skin. A lot of these things. Not exactly the most approachable individual. I will never forget him giving me money for school so I had money for lunch. He did. Like, that's the people. That's I'm not saying every single homeless person you run into or every single person struggling is going to be a good person. But the majority of people in that position, you talk to them, it's just a human being. It's no different than what you and I talk about with our officers and everything. They're not just a badge. They're a human being. You know, you talk to people, and I really feel like a lot of this gets, you know, shuffled out a little bit.
I very touching story. You know, something
you'll never forget. Yeah, get that never.
Opportunity with somebody, you took the time to talk to somebody. Most people wouldn't. You know, get a story. Everybody's got a story, no matter you know who they are or what they do. There's a lot about your character. Sit there and talk to somebody. Look what happened. You're back when you need
it. Yeah.
Just for a meal. That's pretty touching.
It's a lot of my dad's credit. A lot of my dad. My dad was one of those guys. He'd show up on the L train and he'd sit there and talk to somebody for, like, start talking about Mayor Daley and end up talking to Cubs at the end. And I'm like, Dad, who are you? Cubs, I didn't know you know that. Yeah. I didn't know you knew that guy. So I don't know who that is. I have no idea who that guy is. My dad's just one of those people. He's really good at talking with people and helped me learn that that's the way to live life, talking to people, you know, interacting with people. I'm not the most social person, but the older I get, the more I try to be, because I think the best part of life is people.
I agree. And life's too short.
And one of my favorite things about people is when they can take tragedy and turn it into something beautiful. Yeah. And that is our friends at Bluegrass at the Lake have done this. Yeah. I tell it to her every time she joins us. I love talking with her, and I love talking about this event. I think it's a nice way for us to be able to wrap up with Bluegrass at the Lake.
Yeah, it was interesting when I met Carolyn. Hey, we want to do something for our Wood County SISM team. And I'm like, I knew Bluegrass at the Lake was out there because previous events. Size event at Zicha, you know, just want to try your radar. We don't expect any law enforcement issues, but hey, something to be aware of. And I was aware of the event, but never attended. When Carolyn gave us a call, Carolyn Saylor, and said that this is what we want to support, and I have to give credit to Wisconsin Rapids Fire Department, especially Jason Jolie. Having the conversation with Carolyn up that, hey, this might be a good opportunity to support our SISM team. And just a little bit of information about SISM, Critical Incident Stress Management Team, is something that was established a few years ago, and Sis, who's been on the show before, is part of it. We need to do something for our first responders. We didn't develop SISM. It's time, but it's something that we felt passionate about, the mental health of not just our law enforcement officers, but all first responders. You know, the fact of the matter is that we respond to many tragedies throughout our community. We see a lot of hard things. And then, you know, back years ago, it was now that is completely different because we use too many, not just law enforcement, but all first responders, career or suicide. And this fit in to help people. Be a tragedy, you do it, you do your job, figure out what happened, and you move forward, but you really don't move forward, right? So we have a critical incident, whether it's a traffic fatality, or responded to somebody that had some sort of accident or anything. What happens is the SISM team will get notified, by whether it's the shift commander or somebody from dispatch, like, had this incident happen. Here are the people that responded to it. Not just like I said, law enforcement, fire department, EMTs, the first responders that went to it. A whole debriefing session. People that, you know, hey, it's not mandatory, go, but we encourage it. And we've been doing that now for years, and that's really helping our first responders get through that tragedy.
Yeah.
Furthermore, if people are still struggling, session, you know, that we can set them up with professionals, you know, or a chaplain service or something, so there's continued follow up with people that saw something, you know, tragic. For me, that it always, you know, I remember all the scenes, especially when I was actually instructors, but when you see kids hurt, you know, I can tell you right now, all of them, you know, and how they bothered me, and how I followed them up, and how that what the outcome was. Situation that we're being proactive with, you know, dealing with our people that does. So Carolyn, Jason talked her into it.
Hmm.
You know, and the committee, and they took it, they ran with it. So this weekend, grass at the lake, Colorado Lake with each other. Bands out there starting Thursday night, a local band, Southbound.
They're awesome. Great band. You
know, Todd Twait.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect band to kick it off.
They'd be performing 7 to 11.
Right. I'll be there. No, and let's not forget why it's to honor, you know, Carolyn's daughter.
Yeah.
The opportunity to sit and just listen and Carolyn to tell us the message. Mm-hmm. And not to forget about her and what she went through. It's humbling that she. It's very humbling, you know, but everybody else in the community that shows us. You'll see a lot of our first responders out there throughout the weekend. Many of our emergency vehicles out on Saturday for the truck event. I'll be out there driving throughout the whole weekend. But what a great band. The weather looks good.
Yeah.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be so many different bands out there that should be a.
It's going to be at Red Sands Beach, Lake Wasecha, going on 8th, 9th, 10th. It's going on Thursday through Saturday. As we mentioned, on Thursday, you're going to have Southbound from 7-Eleven. On Friday, Art Stevenson, Highwater, J.B. Shee, the Millie Billies, River Valley Rangers, all amazing names and amazing bands. That kicks off at 4 and goes to midnight. On Saturday, things wrap up 2 to midnight. You're going to have Biscuit Creek, Handpicked Bluegrass, Red Ben and the Missing Miles. Good name. Brian Thompson and the town line and Dig Deep. Nothing but great bluegrass. I journalistically should mention I love bluegrass, so I'm a big fan of this. And I want to make sure to, and I love family events too. And this is for kids under 18 are free to get in with a paying adult. So this is a family thing. There's going to be plenty of food and beer and wine and soda, all provided by our great friends at the Wisconsin Rapids Lions Club. And a big shout out to them and thank you to them. And on Saturday, that new community day, the three family free events that are going on with Touch a Truck, which we're so happy to have and bring 9 to 1. You got the first responders meet and greet that you were touching on there, and the festival fair from 10 to 3, and Flipping Your Griddle from 11 to 2, the second annual kickoff, which I know how much Carolyn loves, and I know how much the community loves. That is a fun one right there.
She's asking me to cook. Yeah, no, and then you look at, you know, all the sponsors.
Yeah.
The shows, you know, how much the community is behind this event. Just to highlight one good friends of mine, Mike Toronto, this TCI Consulting Group, a great friend, and surprised that
Yeah.
But it's not fair just to highlight one, all of them.
Yeah.
Everybody stepped up in this event. It's humbling again, especially Carolyn. Thank you for sharing Carolyn's story.
Yeah.
Whitney, what this is all about. Selecting.